Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
We got RJ's Parlay. We got news. We got some updates on Artie Lang, which is good, and Kevin Hart as well. First, LifeLock security researchers revealed hackers can access Bluetooth to not only listen to data being sent between two devices, but alter it as well. Oh my God, this is a scary future we're living in. This vulnerability affected every Bluetooth device tested by the security researchers. So no one's impervious to this. So many ways cyber criminals can take what's yours. Good thing there's LifeLock identity theft protection. Adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, they and their agents will work to fix it. It's 2019, people. Let's protect ourselves. Let's get some LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com or 1-800-LIFELOCK for 10% off.
The NFL is back, and you can bet on this. RJ Bell is here. Brought to you by BetDSI. This is RJ's Parlay.
All right, RJ went 2-0 last this season. He is 2-0. There's also kicker Wade. It's a good kicker name. Says he was good from 55 and could not play Division I football. So there was all the talk about the lady kicker, and then I think I got some crap because I was saying I don't think she could play because there's so many that are so good at that level, but good on her. She just took too many steps, but fine. Let's see. RJ's on, I'm sorry, line six. RJ?
Hey, Adam. Yeah, you know, I call it perfection, you know, when we have weeks like this.
Yeah, you are perfect. Can you answer me this? Riddle me this. You watch in New Orleans. You know they get the ball with 34 seconds left or whatever. Now, can't everyone just do what Bill Belichick would do? Bill Belichick would check everyone at the line in blitz, and it disrupts everything. You got a DB playing 11 yards off the guy. The guy completes a 9-yard pass underneath. They kick a field goal. They win the game. What are you playing so far off a guy? What does the prevent prevent? And how come Belichick never does that? He just sends everybody and checks everyone at the line and disrupts everything. Why don't people just – is there game film on the Patriots people could watch?
First off, I think you've identified a real issue in that specific game with the Texans, whereas it was egregious because of the timeout situation, the time left on the clock. All the game details said the odds of them throwing deep here are slim to none, and if they get 10 more yards, it's going to be vital, right? Obviously, 65 versus 55-yard field goal is a world of difference. So I agree, but here's what I say. It's too easy to sit on your couch and critique what's happening in the heat of battle. I mean, you think about this. You followed Howard Stern on the West Coast. A lot of people listened and to all those stations and said, how did Adam do this? Did he misspeak there? And it's like when you're talking for 4 hours a day and you've got hard outs, it's harder than it seems. Well, I can promise you, headlines, it's harder than it seems. That said, that's why they get paid the big bucks. They should have done it. But it makes sense that they don't always, and that's what makes Belichick different. If everyone did what he did, we wouldn't even know his name.
But here's kind of what I'm saying. He realizes that disrupting the play sort of before the play begins is vital to his success. And giving these guys riding off the receiver, not rushing, you know, rushing three guys, letting everybody kind of get into a comfortable position and start to execute the play lowers the percentage of the play working out or raises it so high that I just don't get why everyone wouldn't do this. I know some of it is personnel, but draft toward doing that. There's nothing worse than when you're playing the Patriots and it's like, oh, it's 3rd and 7, and your guy's back there running for his life because they've sent two guys versus set up and throw.
Let them do what they want to do.
Right.
And here's what I would say is if you – and I've studied Belichick probably or certainly more than all coaches combined. So, you know, 70% of the time I've read about coaches, it's been Belichick. And the reason being, I think he is so far in a – I mean, who's number two, right? Some people might say go with Hughes, the Rams coach, McVay. Others say Andy Reid, he's just not good at game – but Sean Payton – but really, there's not even a consensus number two.
Well, right? How good – you talk about the sort of better thing. My feeling is Belichick is great, and when you give him time to prepare, he goes to the next level. And the Patriots win their opening game, it seems like, every single year. And I feel like – they just got done crushing the Steelers. Right. I feel like take the Patriots, give the points – or whatever it is on opening day every day, because that gives Belichick 3 months to prepare.
They got smashed last year by the Chiefs.
Oh.
And it's the rant. It's the opposite, and or even more extreme, is if you fade the Browns. Amazingly, Adam, last 21 opening games, and that's from the beginning of the new incarnation of the Browns. Remember, they had a couple years off when they moved to Baltimore, and then the new Browns showed up. Since then, 21 years, 21 opening games, one straight up victory.
What are one. What Jesus Christ? What are the Pats and since Brady and their opening?
You know, it's funny because I'm going to look that up for next week. Now the irony here is by far Belichick's worst month is September. So you're right by my recollection, he does well in the opening game, but he doesn't do so well in game 2, 3, and 4 relative to the rest of the year, which is because he talks about this publicly a lot. He considers the rest of September a continuation of the preseason, an extended preseason. He just can't get ready, he doesn't feel like, that quickly in the time they give him, especially since the last agreement with the union in 2011 where they've cut a lot of time out, less hitting, etc. So in general, September is by far the worst month for Belichick, but opening day, as you said, seems to be better. I'll have the exact numbers for next week.
Do you, Tom Brady's 208 and 60, but that's probably not an opening. That's probably not just an opening days because that was...
Oh, no, I think he'd have about 20, probably.
Nah, that's not what I was talking about. Yeah, opening day, Max. But anyway, also, a lot of guys, they're resting a lot of guys, and I think they were kind of talking about it on some of these games where it's like Ben Roethlisberger didn't take any snaps during the preseason, or I can't remember who it was, and they looked like they weren't really ready to play. I mean, you can overdo it in the rest department, right?
No doubt. In fact, my two biggest bets this season so far, given out publicly on the national show, so this is absolutely true, has been under in the first half of two of the games where they sat their quarterbacks the most. So remember on Thursday night, Aaron Rodgers didn't play a snap in the preseason, and neither did the opponent, Trubisky. And my thinking is combination of rustiness, plus the coaches being conservative because it's the first action of these guys, makes the first half more inclined to go under. Went under in that game, and then we had the Rams and Goff for the second straight year. Goff has had no preseason snaps. By the way, last season, he was the only quarterback of the projected starters to not have any preseason snaps. And now this year, there was like six of them, and Cam Newton took a few snaps in week 2, I recall, but then he was injured from then till now, or week 1, and he didn't take any more snaps either in the games or practice. So two rusty quarterbacks. That game went way over in the game, but the first half went under. So I agree with you. Identify the QBs that didn't take many snaps or zero, and look for low scoring in those games early.
Brady's 14-3. On opening day, so says Max Apatis.
Pretty good.
Best winning percentage amongst the QBs in Super Bowl era. All right, RJ, a slightly abridged version of your picks, because I got to see my daughter play volleyball. in about 40 minutes. So
you better get your priorities straight, Adam. Winning, cash.
You're right. All right, give us your picks for this week, please.
All right. I'm going to go. I'm a Steeler fan. I'm going with Seattle +4 in Pittsburgh. Now, the Zen kind of concept that I've been talking about this week is that week one games mean more than any other game because it's your only data point at that stage, but everybody overreacts. So you might say, well, you're overreacting to Pittsburgh getting dominated. Yeah, but when a team looks that bad early, it's often a sign of a big problem. So it's one thing to lose a game. It's another to get dominated. I'm getting more than a field goal. Seattle +4, pick number one.
Mm-hmm.
And pick number two, I'm going with the Los Angeles Rams laying 2.5 against the Saints. Below that key number of 3. Also,
right.
The Saints need home field as much as any good team. They're not as good on the road by a greater degree than most. And remember the stat we had last week. We covered that one. But the Saints won. Saints, last 5 years, first 2 weeks of the season, that's 10 games entering this year, 1-9 straight up. 1-9 against the spread. So they start slow. The fact that they had a miracle win on Monday night doesn't change that for me. So I'm fading the Saints more than playing the Rams, but the pick is Rams -2.5.
It's under a field goal. It should work, and I'll keep my fingers crossed. I'm not going to go out there because it's too depressing to go to a Rams home game. It's like $180 to park.
Oh, well, yeah, and mortgage the house.
There's 7,000 guys selling ghetto dogs while somebody's writing out chicken shit parking tickets right next to the guy selling food. So I always get super angry and depressed. Thanks, RJ.
Hey, Adam, if you want me to put odds on the soccer or on the volleyball game, just send me the info. You know, no, hey, middle school volleyball, we'll do it.
I'll send you all the girls' heights.
Have a good one, guys.
Thanks,
thank
RJ.
You.
RJ's Parlay, presented by BetDSI.
It's a great time of the year, beautiful weather, and football is now back. Add excitement and make BetDSI.com your betting partner. Use BetDSI's live betting platform. You watch all the events and bet all the games until the final whistle. New members get a 100% bonus match with their promo code ADAM101. That's double your money, everyone. Paying winners for over 20 years. Top rated on review sites. User friendly as well. And easy to interface with the mobile site. Fastest payouts in the industry. They have the NFL, NBA, NHL, boxing, politics, reality TV for Gina Grant, esports, everything that goes on. BetDSI has you covered. BetDSI.com, promo code ADAM101 for a limited time. You get the 100% bonus offer. It's only game until you bet. Then it's BetDSI, baby. Let's talk to Wade. Wade, real quick. Wade,
hello.
You're a kicker?
Yes, sir.
And, yes.
I kicked in Division III, and, you know, coming out of high school, my distance was a little bit under 50. I made a 47-yard field goal in high school, and still, you know, no recruiting from colleges. By the end of college, I was able to hit in practice up to about 57 pretty consistently with the normal steps.
And, how do they?
You know, that's not anywhere near good enough to play in the NFL, but go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, in sort of golf, like that guy's an 8 handicap or scratch golfer or something like that, bowler, you have an average. Mm-hmm. You know, kicking, obviously, you make one from 60, mm-hmm. doesn't mean you're good from 60, it just means you made that one from 60, but mm-hmm. I wouldn't also ask you make 100 in a row from 60, that would be unfair. Mm-hmm. But it right. seems like you'd have to make 6 out of 9 or something. Like, is there a kind of a number for you to say, I'm good from this number?
For the coach, like for a coach to put you in a game, like the coach was able to put me in a game and try a 52 in college, and I missed it. Mm-hmm. And he never let me try one above 50 after that. But I was pretty good from under 50. You know, probably in practice with the rush coming at me, live snap, under 50, I'd make probably 8 out of 10.
Yes.
Over 50, it was about 50%.
Not talking about you. I just want to know,
sorry.
Is there
NFL guys? Oh, they're...
No, I'm not talking...
She's excited.
I'm asking a pretty basic question here, which is like, when does it become, let's just say you started kicking at the 40-yard line and you kept moving back and you're hitting everything consistently all the way. But then at some point, you started missing a little too much. What is that number where you're not good for? I don't know that there is a actual sort of equation mathematically, but I just want to know, like,
well, what percentage would you guess?
Right.
Wait, like, you're saying what, at what yard line does the percentage drop start to drop off?
No.
Well, for who?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Anybody. Right. Anybody. Anybody.
The average guy or like an NFL kicker?
Just to lock in that yardage, how many would you have to get out of 100?
I'm making the announcement. I'm good from 50. But if I made it 1 out of 10 times from 50, that wouldn't be an accurate statement. I'll just repeat it. But it wouldn't be accurate to make me make it 100 times in a row from 50. What is the equation where you can say I'm good from before it falls off? Or and not? I'm not asking who.
Yeah, no, what's the top of your range? What is the makeable, you know what I mean? The
Better yet, I'm not asking who. Like NFL, and you know, junior college. I'm just saying, what is that equation, that number?
I got you.
You got me?
I'm going to say about 8 to 9 out of 10, so somewhere around 85%.
So
if you're not 85%, then you're not trying it.
If you're doing 6 out of 10 from 55, you're not good from 55.
What's that?
Okay,
correct.
All right.
He meant.
I try things all the time; they rarely work. They just don't work. But in my head, I'm excited.
I
you know what
I mean?
Like I feel like, ooh, I'm going to get some answers. But we did.
You did. That makes sense.
You got to make 8 or 9 out of 10 to be good from that range, or considered good from that range.
See, Drew agrees.
I was saying it's wide right.
the Broncos guy, the kicker. The Broncos kicker has a nice looking mustache. By the way, I stopped playing off the goddamn dirt. Drop off the dirt. I know it's baseball season. It drives me nuts. Professional football. It's the biggest sport in the world. They're playing on dirt.
This is the last game ever on baseball field, I think, because the next Raiders home game, I believe, is after the baseball season.
Good. Anyway, they're going to try 64-yarder off of dirt. By the way, the entire game takes place right in the sweet spot of the dirt of the infield, the way it's laid out. But anyway, he tries a 64-yarder and misses by 6 inches. And here's what happens. It makes me laugh. The other guy makes fun of him. Drills it down the middle. Drills it. The deep back didn't even... They had put a guy in an end zone to return it. They put a guy, and he didn't even catch it. Then some guy comes up and taunts him. Like, oh, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. It's like... I was laughing because it's like, you watch it. He does a 64-yarder. They take a guy and they put him in the end zone to possibly return it. He stands on the back of the end zone. The ball goes over his head.
Yeah, it is.
So
about as close as it gets. Mm.
And it was right down the middle.
He piped it.
And the guy goes, like he saw him slip at a supermarket or something. Like,
whoopsie. Yeah. Are we not going to mention that David Arquette's the kicker?
Yeah, I know. It's what he looks like. All right, Brandon.
McManus. He's my favorite NFL player with anus in his name.
Guy's got good. I mean, he fucking drilled that thing. All right. Yeah. All right, Drew, what do you think? Taunting? Is that good? Or?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Okay. All right, quick break. Then we come back and do the news right after that.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, some good Artie Lang news. He's announced he's 7 months sober after receiving long-term treatment in rehab. He even tweeted, we're looking at a picture of him right now, looking good. He's planning on announcing a new tour soon. Lang has also included a current picture, which we're looking at, shows him happier, healthier looking than in some recent times. The 51-year-old comedian checked back into rehab earlier this year after testing positive for cocaine twice. He was arrested in May. He was held at the Essex County Correctional Facility in Newark. He also had been arrested in January for drug possession. A month prior, Lang shared a shocking photo, which we're all pretty used to now, of his collapsed nose, which he said is caused by over 3 decades of drug abuse.
Well, We all love. He looks like his weight is down.
He looks
quite
fantastic.
A bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not overdo it.
Well, no. I mean, but look at the difference. My God.
That is true.
Butterface.
Everyone loves him. Brian. And everyone roots for Artie. And hopefully this is that sort of last chapter for him and the addiction part.
Yeah.
Because he's always been funny. Yeah. And
time for a comeback.
If he could stay out of harm's way with the drugs, he will be great. Everyone always roots for Artie.
That's right. Well, speaking of that, Kevin Hart expected to be out of the hospital by now. He's been hospitalized since last weekend's car crash that left him with 3 spinal fractures. He'll then move to an inpatient physical therapy facility for a week or two. A source says he's super eager to get out. But this is the really interesting part, because this is another crystal brain moment from you, Adam. Kevin's 1970 Plymouth Barracuda will be taken apart by the California Highway Patrol, according to TMZ, and could result in the CHP recommending a law to, quote, require that car companies that customize and restore classic cars must install safety harnesses.
Well, I was yapping about this, I think, on CarCast, as I did earlier today, airs on Friday, which is, I'm not a big fan of regulation, but it's a weird thing, which is there's so much regulation involving automobiles. Like, for instance, every time I see a new concept car, everything looks great, except for it's got the big fucking mirrors on the outside of it. And it's like, they have cameras. They have mini cameras. They have backup cameras. The new Toyota RAV4 has a switch. I just saw it. You flip on the rear view inside the car, and it goes to camera.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen that.
And cool stuff.
The digital
display. There's no reason we need it. It's like, the rules are the rules. And it's like...
Or...
It's a mirror.
Yeah.
On the outside of the car. It's how they hypothesized that they got light into the center of the pyramids 2 billion years ago. We don't need glass mirrors on the outside of the car. We have cameras. Right. But they're like, yeah, but that's an old rule, but it's still a rule, and they need the rules. And then, so there's rules, and more rules. Or you get a shell of a 70 Barracuda, drop a 750 horsepower Hellcat engine into
it. Mulholland.
And no rules.
Yeah.
So it's like this weird, and it's not a big problem because there's not going to be a lot of people this way. But I was saying maybe there should be a roll cage that's built into that vehicle, or a harness that's built into that vehicle. I was saying on CarCast that I have had conversations with, and we probably all have, with lawyers or doctors or whomever's, and you go, hey, can you just do this? And they go, I can't really do that. Like, I'm a lawyer, I can't really just say that or do that or write a note for this. Or I'm a doctor, I can't just blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer. As a car builder, I think you have to say to whoever you're building that car for, we're dropping a 725 horsepower Hellcat engine in this car, we're putting a cage in it. And someone go, I don't want a cage in my car. And you go, it'll be a nice one. And it's not going to cost that much. Right. And you're spending $350,000 for the car anyway. Right. This will be an extra $9,000. And we're just going to do it. And that's just what I do as a car constructor. Yeah. And we'll put a harness in.
Yeah. Or you can just call it your mobile coffin. Your choice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, a couple of stories from the penis desk here. Men suffering from erectile dysfunction may be facing a bigger problem than that little frustration, according to CNN. ED may predict your risk for a future stroke or heart attack. And the way they come to this conclusion is pretty interesting. That's the takeaway from an analysis of studies on more than 150,000 men published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine. So compared to men without the symptoms of impotence, the analysis found men with ED have a 59% higher risk of coronary heart disease and a 37% higher risk of stroke. Meanwhile, there is a good reason that they're sort of making this correlation, this particular organ. It's a good predictor of future circulatory problems, according to experts. It serves as a sort of little canary in the coal mine, since the penile artery that delivers the blood flow to the penis is a very small diameter, and it's smaller blood vessels which show the first signs of disease.
I feel like canary is an apt description of my honker.
Yeah, just a little yellow.
Well, chirpy. I'm just saying you wouldn't want to pick like a pterodactyl or pelican or a bird of prey.
Mm-hmm.
No. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it.
If you can't get blood down there, then you're having issues moving
with
blood.
With all kinds of arteries,
And that that will then be the proof. That's interesting.
Yeah. Meanwhile, with some more hot ED talk, NBC News reports that head trauma in former NFL players may be linked to low testosterone and erectile dysfunction later in life. This is according to a new study out of Harvard.
Turns out head trauma is never good.
Yeah. No benefits.
I used to watch Gilligan's Island when I was a kid, and I thought head trauma was good for
you. Hilarious.
That's how you get memory back.
Yeah, you get hit on the head with a coconut, you lose your memory, and then the way to get it back is you get hit on the head with another coconut.
Yeah.
And then you get your memory back.
And undoes the first coconut.
I wonder who pitched those jokes in the early days. How come there's no one in the room going, what the fuck are you talking about, Stan? That's not funny. Yeah. And it doesn't even make sense. Yeah. It's more head trauma.
Yeah.
So, you ever met an old boxer? You think that's how it works?
Keeps remembering and unremembering things?
That's right.
More than 3,400 former professional football players were surveyed by investigators as part of this study on football players' health. They found that players who reported the most concussion symptoms had nearly twice the risk of ED as those that reported the fewer symptoms. And one possible explanation for those results could be that the injury to the brain's pituitary gland causes hormonal changes like diminished testosterone and ED. All this stuff is linked.
Mm-hmm. I've never had any ED issues.
Good for you.
Yeah. I'll lump it in with the, you know, people talk about heartburn and acid reflux and, you know, bad stomach and whatever. Like,
speaking my language.
I was talking to the dentist the other day and we were discussing my high threshold for pain. And I said, yeah, you know, I don't get stuff. And I said, I did this hot wing show where I was just like eating the hottest sauce in the world. And I didn't make me feel like anything. And he's like, yeah, but the next day, right? And I was like, no, zero.
You didn't have fire hole?
Zero. Is it nothing? It confuses me when it happens to other people. And he's like, oh boy, no, that happened. And I'm like, I felt like nothing. I could feel it was hot when I was eating on hot ones. And then 2 minutes later, when we were done, it felt like nothing. And then later on that day, it felt like nothing. And then the next day, it felt like nothing. I don't know
you're
what that is.
You're a lucky man. And you can sleep on your right side and not feel like your esophagus is coming out?
His boner props him up.
My boner props me up. Mm-hmm.
The third leg.
It's like one of those rabbit traps.
Yep.
Tie a string around it.
Well, I wish
kid hides in a bush.
Yeah.
I wish there was some sort of information buffer before this next story, but it is about a 10-year-old girl. She is a hero. In Arizona, she recorded video of her mother driving while intoxicated Saturday and then called the police on her, according to the Maricopa County Court.
This is the problem with the word hero. Benedict Arnold, more like.
Oh, yeah. She's not welcome.
Sold me out.
She's not welcome home. So 31-year-old Stephanie Davis was arrested on September 7th on suspicion of aggravated DUI.
I feel like we had a lot of these kids dropping a dime stories like in 2007 or 8. A lot of, I don't know, we had a rash of these stories where it's like they reported their own mom to the, but then they kind of went away for a while.
Yeah, they're back.
Oh, no.
So the 10-year-old showed Glendale police officers in Arizona the video of her mother in which three children under 15 years old could be heard yelling at the mom to stop. She's going to get in an accident. Officers say Davis was staggering around the car. She was bloodshot. She smelled like alcohol. She was slurring. She had mood swings. Davis refused standard sobriety test, the field test, and so then they have to do the blood sample. She is scheduled to appear in court September 23rd.
Wait, so how did the filming part go?
So the 10-year-old is in the car with her, and all three kids are screaming at her to stop the car before she hits somebody, and the 10-year-old just started rolling film.
Right, so but then she gets pulled over anyway.
No, then the 10-year-old called 911.
Oh, okay.
So she had the proof and then called 911.
Oh, boy.
Gotta be careful.
It's got to be a weird relationship. Like at some point you're at home and you want to crack a natty light. You're like, sweetie, is it okay if I have a beer at home or are you going to film that? Toss it up on the internet.
Go full Hasselhoff.
Yeah. Such a weird thing. Yeah, there is about 7,000 little piggy jokes at the Alec Baldwin roast.
Oh, Blake Griffin, that's the one they're showing right now. That one was gold, platinum gold.
Oh, which one was that?
I think we have it.
We'll get it.
They just put out just a little taste for us waiting for the roast, and Blake Griffin has three zingers in a row for Caitlin, and one of them is a little piggy joke about, here
it is. It's a Caitlin joke?
Uh-huh,
or
yep. Oh, okay.
Caitlin completed her gender reassignment in 2017, finally confirming that no one in that family wants a white dick. Thought she was coming after me there for a second. Caitlin's pussy is so young. Alec just called her a rude, thoughtless little pig. Look, for real, I know we're all here making fun of Caitlin, but honestly, I want to take this moment to publicly thank you. As an athlete, I want to thank you for your bravery. And as a human, I want to thank you for the doors you've opened. And on behalf of the entire NBA and half of the rappers on the Billboard charts, I want to thank you for giving your daughters their daddy issues.
So there was one of the jokes.
Wow.
And Baldwin didn't seem super happy to hear it.
Oh, he got 1,000 piggy jokes.
Okay.
Ireland came up there. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's in the news.
I've been sort of sheltering myself from it. That was the only, to see this.
Well, I shouldn't say the only, but that was one of the more uncomfortable moments.
Sure.
She laid into him for 10 minutes.
Probably very cathartic.
Being a bad dad.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's hope that never happens with Natalia. All right, let me hit Castrol Edge. Stronger under pressure. Engine can lose up to 10% of performance. And that's why you need Castrol Edge. It transforms under pressure. It is 3 times.
Right.
Drew's not impressed. 3 times stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It's Castrol Edge. Get the edge. Get Castrol Edge. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grant.
All right, well, there is a lot of talk of who's going to be at that halftime show at Super Bowl 54, and everybody's talking about Jennifer Lopez. An insider told Us Weekly J-Lo is at the top of the list. Quote, Jennifer and the NFL have been in talks for a while. It's in Miami. But there are many factors that go into the deal before it's official, but Miami is her home, and she partnered with Fox TV to kick off the 100th season of the NFL. The Super Bowl will be broadcast on Fox, so it seems like that will probably be the deal.
I don't know. Is she kind of like the Tom Cruise of, I don't know, females or performers? Like, I just feel like she's never out of shape. She's never takes a day off. She never eats a... She never has a piece of cheesecake with a meal or something. It's like, it's always... But it's also like, I don't know. Does anyone go, I love her music, right, or like, I love her? She just kind of... constantly,
she's
like the pit bull of, that's, I don't know, or
well,
something.
Speaking of pit bull, that's kind of the sweet spot of the Super Bowl halftime show. It's like no one you love, but everyone can kind of agree, like,
that's
okay,
good,
yeah,
it's fine. Right. And also, speaking
unless
of,
unless it's Maroon 5.
If and that body of hers, you know, and I'm sure, right, Brian will tell us all about it. She has that new stripper movie, Hustlers, coming out.
No, mm-hmm. Oh,
Cardi B, right, and who else?
Everybody. Yeah,
yeah.
I just feel like she never, I just,
there's no bloat.
I never picture her sleeping in or eating ice cream out of the container.
And doesn't she have twins? I mean, she definitely has 2 kids.
And what's her cheat day like?
She doesn't have a cheat day.
Yeah, her cheat day is only 4 hours of Pilates or something.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like she's just out there working it. It's like in a time, like I always say, somewhere, Tom Cruise is somewhere doing a push-up right now. Like, just...
Yeah. Staying relevant, staying on top.
Yeah. All right. God bless her. Mm-hmm. Not interested, but God bless her.
Okay.
Let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Right.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Let's see. Live shows everywhere. Well, we talked about Lexington, Kentucky. Probably a couple more tickets for that left. Coming up September 20th. And Uptown Theater in Napa. That's me doing stand-up, so you can see me on the 27th. We're doing West Palm Beach. We're doing the Improv October 3rd. That's a live pod. Going on a cruise, maybe. You can still get tickets. You go to Cruise. Is it Cruise by Parker?
AmCrawl.com.
Or go to AmCrawl. Travel with Parker. Or go to AmCrawl.com. I got Brian's show, Laughs with Bald Brian. Adamcarolla.com. Still a couple tickets left of that, but that's going to sell out November 2nd at the Avalon. So go to adamcarolla.com. All live shows coming up in Valencia and Santa Monica and Torrance are doing stand-up there. I'm going to pop into one of those. Bad boy Brian's going to host. And check out, Between Two Ferns, the movie with Scott Aukerman directing. Check that out as well. And until next time, Adam Carolla. For Scott Aukerman and Gina Grant and Paul Bryan saying, mahalo.
Yeah.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. For tickets and info on everything, go to adamcarolla.com.